And I believe I have with me on the phone Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
Thank God, and how are you on this fine, wonderful day?
I'm fine. That's waiting good. To go outside. I'm here in the dungeon.
Yeah. You want to go do a little bit of bike riding?
Actually, I'm going today with a friend, yeah, in the evening.
Are you going the official or unofficial trail?
So, yeah, that's what they wrote yesterday in the newspaper. It's official, but it's not official yet.
Right.
So that was the official, unofficial trail that I
took. Okay. Good for you.
Yeah. So, Parshat HaShavua.
Yes, Parshat Korach is this week's Torah portion. And we see Korach incites a lot of challenging aspects, and he challenges Moses' leadership and the granting of the kahuna, the priesthood, to Aaron, his brother. And joining Korach are 250 distinguished members of the community to prove their worthiness that they can be the priest, that they can be the Kohen.
Yeah, they can do it.
Right. So there was this argument, and they were fighting with Moses. And to cut the long story short, everyone knows the earth opens up and swallows them, and a fire consumes the offerings that they brought to try and show that they are ready for, and they're able to be priests. We also see in this week's Torah portion that God commands that a teruma, an uplifting from each crop of grain, wine, and oil, as well as all firstborn sheep and cattle, should be given to the Kohen, to the priest, as thank you, as a present, obviously talking about to God for everything that God had given them.
Yeah.
Now, it's very, very interesting because during the Korach rebellion, who happens to be, by the way, Moses' cousin.
Yeah.
And during his rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu, not only did he attack Moses for denying him his supposed rightful position, but he also questions Moses' authority to issue halachic decisions. As it's brought down in the Medrash, in the commentaries, that Korach confronted Moses with the following question. And he says like this: is it necessary to place a mezuzah on the doorpost of a room filled with Sifrei Torah? Is it necessary to have a mezuzah on your doorpost that everyone has in their houses and shuls and synagogues, so on and so forth? A room that is full of Torahs, of two of the five books of Moses. And Moses replied, yes. And Korach argued. And he said like this: if the whole Torah, which contains 275 portions, cannot exempt the house from a mezuzah, how is it possible that a mezuzah, which contains only two portions, exempts the whole house? Your ruling makes no sense. So he was arguing with Moses. He said, this makes no sense. And if you think about it logically, Korach's reasoning made a lot of sense. Because why should a room filled with Bibles, with Torahs, require mezuzah on the outside? It makes no sense. So Korach, if you think about it, was really trying to show, and he was saying that the Jewish people, Kola Eida Kulam Kedoshim, the entire community,
all of them,
everyone is holy. Uvetocha Mashem, and God is among them. What was he meaning today? He meant that the Jews were all holy since they all had God in their hearts. And therefore, it is sufficient to be a good Jew on the inside without openly showing it on the outside. Therefore, thus, if the interior of a home is filled with Torah, it should be sufficient. And there's no need to demonstrate the Jewishness also on the exterior. You know, I ask people, you know, sometimes I meet people in the street or wherever it may be, and I tell them, I said, are you Jewish? And, you know, after a conversation, so you get a little bit of a sense, you think they're Jewish, but I, yes, well, are you Jewish? And I've got many, many answers and comments. I'm a Jew at heart.
Hmm.
And that's it. I'm nothing else. Don't ask me about anything else. Anyway, Moses vehemently disagreed and insisted that even if a home or individual is saturated with Torah, one has to manifest one Torah's conviction in public to let the world know that the home is a Jewish one with a mezuzah. And if we see from all this, what happens? We see that God apparently agreed with Moses. Because what happened to Korach? Moses was still alive. Korach was the one that ended up, falling out of this earth. And the Torah tells us that Uvenei Korach lo metu. The sons of Korach did not die. What does this mean? This is interpreted to mean that the Korach philosophy, unfortunately, is still rampant. It's still today. Many of our brothers and our sisters are still not prepared to publicly or to publicize their Jewish convictions and affiliation. And they're not proud to say, I am a Jew. And we have the ability, we're lucky, living in Canada, living in America, in North America, God afforded the Jew much freedom to live and practice as he wishes. Because we live in a democratic country. We are witness today to Torah-adherent Jews who proudly demonstrate their Jewishness in all the realms of their professional world. You know, it's so nice to see where you see lawyers not embarrassed, you know, walking around with their kippah. Doctors that some of them wear a kippah or have their tzitzit out. You know, a lot of people declared years and years and years ago that America is, a treifa medina, as they say in Yiddish, a place where everything is non-kosher. Not true. Because just this look, there's so many people that are proud to be a Jew. So now we have to constantly ask ourselves, are we going to be the embarrassed person saying, am I proud to be a Jew? Am I not proud to be a Jew? And that is one of the things that if you think about what Korach and Moses' argument was. Yes, I can be a Jew in my heart. I can do everything. I can have, like the example, the five books of Moses in my heart. But what happens on the outside? You still need to put a mezuzah. You still need to have the scroll on the door to be able to show the world, I am a proud Jew. I am not scared. I am happy to be the way that I am, and I am going to show everyone that this is the way that a Jew is supposed to be. And that's where I think is a critical mistake that a lot of people make. They think, you know what, let me hide that I'm a Jew. People sense and can find out quickly who's Jewish, who's not. We have some sort of sign in our head, I don't know, but some people, you're able to figure it out quickly. And people respect people that are proud with what they have, which they're not embarrassed with what they have. People respect it. Non-Jews, Jews, it doesn't make a difference. And I think the next time that we have the opportunity to be able to make a Kiddush Hashem, a sanctification of God's name, to be able to show the world, yes, I'm Jewish, this is wrong, and this is what I agree with, or I don't agree with, whatever, not to be embarrassed. And that is, I think, a very important lesson that we can learn from Moses and Korach dispute.
Yeah, it is. Be proud of who you are.
That's right. You know, I always, you know, people, I'm living in this type of country or this type of country, and people will look at me, maybe they're going to look at me differently. You know what? People look at everyone differently.
You should see my wife walking in the hospital with her Magen David.
Yeah, she's proud. She's not embarrassed.
Of course she is.
Why should she be embarrassed? She has something to be proud of, and everyone should be.
Yeah.
We're a chosen nation. Why should I be embarrassed of who I am?
Exactly.
There's nothing to be embarrassed about.
Yeah. That's good. Rabbi services?
Services Friday evening are at 7:30, sorry, and Sunday is at 8:15, and Monday and Thursday is at 7:15 in the morning. So it's a good way to start off the day.
Definitely. I want to wish you Shabbat Shalom.
You too. And God willing, we should have a happy week, a peaceful week. And I look forward to talking next week.
Same here.
Be well.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.